Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage. We're here every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock bringing information on real estate finance. And today, we have Impact Bioenergy with us today. Really fascinating yes. company, and really glad you all could join us here today.
Yeah, so right before the break, we were having Jan Allen, who's the president, talking about kind of how this all started. But you mentioned, so we've got two other folks from your company here. We've got Drew Corbin and Sharup Kumar. And you said these guys probably heard you at a forum and came up to you. So I got to ask, so Drew, I get to say agronomist. I kind of love that. So tell me, like, what was the driver for you? Like, and how did that all happen?
Yeah, so in my former position as extension faculty with WSU, I work with farmers. I've worked with
farmers. Oh, right, yeah. They have a big, big program.
I've worked with farmers my whole career, 3 decades. And I was doing a big project with composting. You mentioned earlier mm-hmm. about Cedar Grove. Mm-hmm. That's one of the composters we worked with, and a couple other regional composters that all had surplus compost. And we tried to get farmers to use the compost through a big program that I got funding through USDA. Anyway, we had about 60 farms doing either demonstration projects or experiments with compost in Snohomish County. And so I was invited to speak about it at the U.S. Composting Council conference in Austin, Texas.
Didn't even know that existed. Okay. That makes sense, though.
That's where I met Jan.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was speaking about the compost project, and I noticed in the schedule that there was a scale-appropriate anaerobic digester.
And you went, that sounds exciting.
Well, they're from Everett. And I'm like, Everett? I'm from Everett. I don't know anything about this. So I just went to go see him speak. And he was still on the drawing board at that point.
Okay.
Everything was pretty theoretical. He had a lot of designs.
I'm watching Jan's face while you say that to see how he's responding.
So, you know, I knew a little bit about anaerobic digestion, and I knew of especially the failures of trying to scale down a digester so that it's more appropriate for small space. And so I asked him a couple questions during the talk, and then afterwards.
Did I answer him right?
Yeah, the one I was mainly concerned about was temperature. You have to maintain. It's just like an animal. If an animal mm-hmm. gets sick, it's either a fever or you know, if you start to get too cold, they're not going to function properly. So
I think that's any living creature.
And that's really where I saw the most failures of the smaller scale digesters.
Okay.
So I asked him about temperature, and he's got a unique system. It's sort of a circulatory system of warm water that maintains a constant temperature of 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was satisfied with that. And then afterward, I thought that he should be talking to farmers in Western Washington, because the farmers here are very resourceful people. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do direct to market. They do their own processing, and they do direct delivery. And
that's the whole thing. Agriculture in the state of Washington is big, big business.
Especially, it's very different from Eastern and Western, but mm-hmm. but where we are, there we know about the food waste issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I asked Jan if he had anybody on staff. Little did I know he didn't even have a staff. I said, do you have anyone on staff who knows how to talk to farmers? Because I really think this is a good target clientele for you. And he was like, no, maybe you. So after
do you have someone you could sponge off?
After that, yeah, exactly. Thanks, honey.
Well, it was a little bit more exciting than that, because then he called me back and he says, hey, I quit my job. I'm ready to start. I said, whoa.
Oh, that is exciting. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we basically that night went out for a couple beers and talked about it a lot more. And
worked on your own anaerobic digestion issues. Got it.
And that was almost 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's actually very cool. I personally, I mean, we talk about organic foods and stuff, but I love the organic process of people meeting and connecting and doing great things together. I mean, honestly, you know, Eric and I met 15 years ago. He's the only lender I've worked with for that long. But it was just, I went to a class where he was doing, it was a non-matriculated thing about how to not get screwed by a lender. Because way back when, most people don't know, lenders weren't all individually licensed. And so he was giving the public the real scoop on what you have to look for, how not to get hosed, which during the recession, we saw all those people who got hosed, right? And then they changed the laws, and now everyone has to be individually licensed and get at least a minimum amount of education and then ongoing education. But the natural process of certain people that come together and then what you can actually build and grow beyond that, I mean, that's that, you know, network to me is just tremendous. So I love this story.
And look at us.
That's
now.
Awesome.
We fight like brothers and sisters.
Yeah, yeah, we do. And sometimes right here on the radio.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Okay.
You should come to our team meeting.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, so, you know, I'm a big fan. Like in my own team, I'm trying to, what do they call it?
Synergize?
No. Oh, like barf. I hate that word. Mm. No. It's there's another terminology for where you're not so much hierarchical, but it's this
facilitator.
No, there's another term. I'll think of it later. But there was a speaker I saw last year who was talking about this whole like, you know, you need to have people who challenge you. You can have the person who's in charge. You know, like Jan, you're obviously in charge. But when you have people able to bring thoughts.
More collaborative.
Yeah, right. It's a little bit collaborative, but you still need to be able to have these like crucial conversations where, hey, maybe I don't agree with you, but it's okay. It's not about my ego. It's about getting the right job done and getting the right, you know, output of what you're trying to get to, right? And so, you know, when there's someone who can do that in a company that can do that, a lot of the firms that are coming out today, a lot of technology companies are around that. You have to be able to have folks who can come and collaborate without someone feeling like, you know, what they're bringing to the table is just going to get shot down. Or it has to be the building on of, you know, the ideas that are there. So, I mean, good for you that if you can build that kind of an environment, that's usually means you're going to do better things.
Yeah, we've been lucky because the mission is so clear. We know. Mm-hmm. We know what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, Sharup, so you're the other part of this team here. So what's your role with the organization?
Well, in the end, it comes down to connecting people. And so at it for about 5 years now, ever since meeting Jan, developing projects and programs around the technology, because in the end, all it's doing is connecting more people locally. So we need to start those conversations early, have them often.
Right.
And really design the solution for them to meet their needs.
So
rather than, you know, giving them a solution saying this is it.
Yeah, see if you can fit yourself around it. Right. So are you having to come up with the idea of who these people are, or is it just kind of, again, like your organization comes up with that, or you do some market research? How do you decide?
Well, for the past few years, it's really been market sounding. So,
okay.
You know, getting out there and talking to the folks like Fremont Brewing, who we were able to start our first pilot in the city with. So the city of Seattle, they came out with an opportunity for on-site food waste recycling, and it was actually, I think, St. Patrick's Day of 2014.
Okay.
Jan and I were having a beer over at the beer garden there.
I'm sensing a theme. Okay.
And
it's fermentation. You know, yeah. We're about fermentation.
Yes.
Small world. I may have been there.
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's just continuing that brew.
I do want to come to one of your team meetings is at a brewery.
We can help contribute some food products.
I think we could. Yeah. Actually, if we do, you know what? We need to do another event. Maybe we should do one where there's...
That'd be kind of fun. Little,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll talk about that. Anyway, off topic. Sorry. But okay. So you guys went for a beer.
But totally on topic because we're like, why stop with the fermentation in the beer?
Yeah.
You know, they're putting in all sorts of residuals like, you know, spent yeast, spent grain. So we saw it as just a huge opportunity to now convert, you know, every ton of that material into nutrients, energy, water, and carbon.
Right, because normally you see like spent grain breads where I know that some companies have gone and brought that from breweries and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to make another product out of it. But there's no way that all can be utilized
that
format.
There's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
So this is fantastic. Okay.
So cutting our teeth on that first horse, you know, with the city and reporting to the city on how this is performing, you know, what are our challenges? And then scaling that process up and out. you know, how do we repeat it?
Right.
So we've been looking at different verticals, like, you know, just like the brewery vertical, there's a campus vertical. Different feedstock, different users. How do you now adapt to that?
Right.
So it's been, you know, partnering up with the right people who have the right will to do this, because in the end, it's no longer business critical for, you know, all these small businesses to do something like this. This is always a nice to have, but there's a call to action there. So finding the folks with the call to action has been all about what I'm doing.
So okay, and I'm reading between the lines there. So is it the machine itself? Is it a cost effective machine, or is it a combination of just kind of doing what's right? You're creating less waste, and you're
environmentally
helping the environment while you're at it.
So proving the payback on a machine, we're hoping to get it less than 2 years. That's, you know,
that's
goal.
All.
And, you know, ideally that's the situation, but it comes down to so many different factors.
That's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't
done it yet, but, you know, we're getting there.
Well, but I'm comparing that to, like, let's say I do solar, right. You know, to power my house, my payback could be 15 years.
Right.
You know, something along that line.
And we have people ask those questions. That's why we've had solar guys on here a couple of times, because we get asked regularly, well, does it add or detract from the value of my home, or is it net neutral, right? And the answer is sometimes it just depends, because if you're like living in a neighborhood with not everybody else is doing solar, it may not be an attractive thing, because some people might see it as an eyesore. Whereas in another neighborhood, everyone's like, oh, no, I really want to have that. Because that is, you know, maybe my mentality, or, you know, the way the houses are built, it's not as, you know, not as much of an image issue, you know, for the profile of the house or curb appeal, that kind of stuff. But I love that. I mean, in businesses, 2 years, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that a business has to go through that takes a lot of payback over time.
Well, actually, Shrip, you should explain why we have three value streams.
Okay.
So it's not just electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the value streams are waste to resource, so you have a way to recycle material.
Right.
So that's basically a service of avoiding the truck, avoiding moving material from point A to B, where point B is 50 miles away somewhere.
Right.
And it's 80% water.
Yeah, mostly water.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And traffic's bad, too.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely. Okay, well, we're going to get into that a little bit more when we get back from this break. Thanks for listening to Open House with Team Reba. We'll be back in just a moment with Impact Bioenergy.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.